If you've ever wanted to get started in real estate investing, but you just didn't know how to do it, well, today's show is for you. We're going to teach you how house hacking is really the ultimate way to get started with real estate investing. So consider this video your ultimate guide to house hacking. Hey, everyone, I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor. I built multiple seven-figure companies. My biggest company, though, is Morris Invest. We are a full-service real estate company, so we've done thousands of deals. We build new construction properties, place tenants in those properties for our clients. So I know a thing or two about real estate investing. I know a thing or two about house hacking because many, many of my friends in the real estate investing business started out by house hacking. It's a great way to break into this field. So what is house hacking? Well, at its core, house hacking enables you to buy a piece of real estate, live in one portion of that real estate, and rent out the other portion of that real estate, covering your mortgage payment. So imagine buying a duplex. You live in one side of that duplex. Someone else lives in the other side that you rent to. They pay you rent, but that covers your mortgage. You get to essentially live for free in a property. It's a killer strategy, and it's a great way for you to build up your net worth, grow your retirement, create passive income, buy a performing asset, start to remove liabilities from your life and really set you on a path to success in real estate investing. So that's the basics of what house hacking is. Let's go through now four different things that I love, why I love house hacking, and really dive deep into some of these strategies. So let's go into four main areas that I believe house hacking has enormous benefits over other strategies. So let's talk about four reasons why I love house hacking and what are the benefits. Number one, you can reduce or eliminate your housing costs, right? At the very surface of this is the fact that you're not really paying rent. You're not really even paying a mortgage because you have someone else paying you to live in the property with you. Now, you could do this in a single family home as long as you have space, maybe a basement to rent out or another room to rent out. But typically, you're going to be doing this with a multifamily property. All of your costs should be covered by the rent that you're receiving from the tenants in your property. Now, I recently encouraged one of my extended family members to look at using their VA loan to, in fact, buy a four-unit property, live in one of the units, and rent out the other three. Now, imagine that cash flow that they're getting from those other three units would not only pay their mortgage, but it also covers expenses. Anytime there's a water heater that needs fixing, you're building up a surplus of cash because of the tenants in those properties. The second thing that I love about house hacking is your ability to gain flexibility. I know it maybe seems a little obvious here, but you're not tied down. Once you buy this particular property, let's say again, you buy a duplex and you get called away from your business for work. You have to move across the country. You live in Arizona, suddenly you have to move to New York City. You have this duplex. You lived in one side, you rented out the other side. No big deal, right? Because now what? You can move and rent out the other side of that duplex. Now you've got a fully functioning rental property. Now you can move to New York and have that cash flow from those two units paying for you to live in New York City. There's endless ways for you to be flexible with this. You could also, after a time, decide that you want to refinance that property and move and use that money to move into another property, buy a second duplex, a third duplex, and so on. It enables you to snowball your retirement pretty quickly using this strategy. The third reason I love house hacking, and it's such a powerful strategy, is that it enables you to ease into real estate investing. I almost think of it like that Seinfeld joke. Oh, it's like an old man easing into a warm bath. It really is, because it's the easiest way to get started. You are using the bank's money to buy a property that you live in and rent out the other side, and they cover your mortgage. And now you're a real estate investor. You likely are going to buy the property in an LLC so that for liability protection, you're protected in case that tenant next door slips and falls. Now you're a business owner, right? Now you start to get all of the tax benefits of becoming a business owner. You, in fact, could become a real estate professional. 750 hours a year is all you need to be as a real estate professional. Now you qualify in a whole other tax bracket when you become a real estate professional under the tax code. You have a business, you can run your expenses through your business, you get the tax benefits of depreciation on that property, and you've eased into it because you're living in one of those units. It's really, really powerful. The fourth thing, of course, that I love about this strategy is that you're getting to grow your wealth through passive income. After all, that's why us real estate investors do what we do. It's the cash flow. Like this morning, we got word on one of our properties, in one of our rental properties. My wife said, oh, we just got a tenant on that street. Great. And I said, how much? She said $1,100. The property management company found a new tenant. We had increased the rent. It was $950. They have two dogs, so we have additional fees. And so $1,100 for a three-bedroom, one-bath house. That cash flow, I never have to be involved in, you know, renting the property out. The property management company does that. I get the monthly cash flow. Of course, I'm putting reserves away in case I have repairs, right? We just did a tenant turnover on this property, so we updated the flooring. We put in some new appliances. So I'm keeping some of that money as cash reserves for those things. But it's mostly passive income. It's a really powerful way to grow your wealth. I am really excited to share Wealthfront with everyone who's listening because it's an amazing platform to invest your money. Look, no one is great at something the first time they try it, right? If you're unfamiliar with investing, it can be a little scary and it can be intimidating. I remember when I first started doing this in college, I didn't know what I was doing. Wealthfront does the work for you so you can invest like an expert right from the beginning. So why not invest in your future self? You know, as you set your New Year's resolutions this year, make sure you're thinking about your long-term financial health. And Wealthfront helps you take the steps today for a better tomorrow. You know, decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders actually beat the market. So the odds are not in your favor that you're going to do that alone, right? Unless you've got like an arsenal of big televisions in front of you and computer monitors and you're a day trader. Look, it's not going to happen. So why don't you team up with Wealthfront instead? So here's what they do. They will create an automated investment portfolio of diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you. To open your account, all you need is 3 minutes and $500 to get started. There are no manual trades, no watching the stock market, no more managing all the details. Wealthfront's technology does it for you based on the inputs that you control. It's trusted with over $20 billion of assets. And again, you can get your first $5,000 managed for free just by opening an investment account today. So here's how you do it. Go to wealthfront.com/investing to get your first $5,000 managed for free for life. That's Wealthfront, WEALTHFRONT.com/investing to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/investing to get started today. So how do you house hack? We understand the benefits. Now, what are the best ways to do it? Well, there are really three big things that you want to focus on when you're trying to get started with house hacking. Number one, you want to identify your funding source. Are you going to use a traditional bank? Are you going to use private financing? We'll get to that in a second. Number two, finding the properties, conducting the market research to find a property. Are you going to use a realtor or are you going to do it off market? I'll go into some of those details and my best and most favorite approaches to finding properties. And number three, you've got to run your numbers. Okay, you really have to understand that the profit on real estate is always made upon purchase. Okay, so if you buy a bad deal at the beginning, it's never going to become a better deal later. You have to buy it as a good deal first. That's very important to know your numbers. Okay, so let's dive into each of these three. Number one, funding. What is your funding going to be on this rental property? Is it going to be conventional, regular financing, which is one of my favorites right now because it's 0% interest virtually? I mean, interest rates are so low. The federal benchmark rate right now is zero. That means that mortgage rates are also very, very low. The federal benchmark rate is the rate by which all other interest rates are measured. So mortgage rates are really low, in the threes and the twos for a 15-year mortgage. So imagine getting a 15-year mortgage where you put 20% down, you've got a 2.9% interest rate, and that tenant is going to be paying for your equity and paying back this loan. So you need to decide, are you going to go the traditional route? Are you going to work with some investors that you met at a local REIA meeting that maybe want to partner on a deal like this? That's how you're getting your funding. Maybe you want to call up Uncle John. And you know Uncle John is rich, right? Uncle John, how would you like to lend me the down payment amount of money on this particular property, I'm going to get funding on the for the rest of it at 4% interest. Would you do that, Uncle John? You know, there's endless amounts of money out there. You could even use, you could even get capital through Fund and Grow. Right on our website, if you come to morrisinvest.com, you can get 0% interest funding just by clicking on the funding tab right here on our website. 0% interest funding for your down payment, and you'll get $500 savings when you use that link. Really, really powerful way of getting funding. So any number of ways are available to you. You just have to think about it, map it out, get your, how much money do you have in your IRA, your 401k that you could also leverage, figure out what your funding options are going to be for this house hack. The second thing you want to do is you want to find your best property. What is going to be the best property? It's typically going to be the one property that is maybe needs some upgrades, wants you, you know, to add some value to this property. So if you're going to buy an a property from a real estate agent that is brand new or is doesn't need any work at all and you're paying a retail price for that, great, that can be powerful. That's what we do at Morris Invest, right? Our properties are new construction, stainless steel appliances, granite countertops, everything is brand new. And the appraiser, you know, appraisal will come in maybe a few thousand dollars higher than the person is buying it for. But there's not that much of a difference, okay? Now, if you can find a property by going on the for sale by owner section of Craigslist or finding a tired landlord in your area that you want to live, identifying something like a 4-unit, 3-unit, 2-unit that maybe needs some work, there you can add some great value because you're going to be living in the property. Now, that's exactly what I did on the very first property that I ever bought. It was a 1-bedroom, a condo on a golf course in Orlando, Florida. I moved into it. It had a real 70s vibe to it. It had like wood paneling. It was really ugly inside. Well, I lived there and I did a morning show at the time. So I would come home at noon and I'd work all afternoon on painting and, you know, fixing it up and changing all these lights and fixtures out, updating the cabinets. And I was able to add value to the property while I lived in it. That's what you'll be able to do. If you're living in the property, you'll be able to do some of those things. And so think about, can you add some value where you can get a great deal on that property and then refinance it later because you've added so much value? A bank is going to look at that and say, hey, we'll give you this amount of money for that property. Then you're able to pull the equity back out of that property, take it, and go buy another property. So you can do a number of different things, but you've got to identify these properties. My suggestion is to, you know, you can do direct mail. You can even put out a radio advertisement for if you want. We actually have a video here on the channel that teaches you how to do radio advertising to find deals. That's a great strategy. Imagine just a 30-second radio ad in your market says that I'm a real estate investor, and you'd be really surprised how cheap radio ads are. I'm a real estate investor. I'm buying properties in this area. I'm looking for, are you a tired landlord that wants to get rid of a property? Well, you can give me a call today. That's a great way to get the phone ringing. Find a tired landlord that had a property. He's 75 years old. He's listening to the radio. He's got a Ford, he's got a fourplex that he doesn't want anymore that needs some work because he doesn't want to do it. He can't go up the stairs anymore. His knees hurt him. That's a perfect opportunity for you as a young man, young woman to come in there, buy this property from him at a discount, and start to cash flow this thing. Another thing that you can do with a tired landlord is what's known as seller financing. So you might say to this guy, this 75-year-old guy who has this property, hey, Winston, I don't know, I'm making a name up. Hey, Winston, would you consider doing seller financing? And he'll say, well, if he's a smart real estate investor, he probably knows what this is. If he's a newbie or just doesn't really follow that, then you might have to explain it to him. He says, well, what's that? I don't know. We'll say, well, look, Winston, if you sell this property to me right now, you're going to pay a big capital gains tax bill this year because of the profit you're about to make. How about instead you become my bank? Now, this goes back to point number one, your funding options. Right now, it solves two things, your funding and the property. So you say to Winston, how about you become the bank? You will carry the note on this property. You'll be the bank of Winston, who has a 15-year or a 30-year mortgage note on this property for me, the owner. I'm the new owner now, but I'll be paying you a monthly mortgage. To which he'll say, if he understands real estate and taxes, he'll say, that's a great idea. That way, he still sells the property. He doesn't have to deal with it anymore. His knees are hurting him. Now, you've bought the property, but instead of going to Wells Fargo or another bank, you're going to Winston. The beauty of this strategy is that now he is able to carry the, he gets a monthly amount of money, but he doesn't get hit with a massive capital gains tax bill. He gets to spread it out now over a 30-year period. But you might be watching saying, he's 75. Is he going to live another 30 years? Ha-ha. It doesn't matter, especially if he's got a family or a trust or something else. I recently bought a property from an 85-year-old woman. I did seller financing with her on this property, and she was the one that brought it up. So you think she's 85. There's no way she's going to be around for a 30-year note for me to pay this back. It doesn't matter. She had sons that she was going to hand down her assets to. So she's going to hand down this 30-year mortgage note to her sons, and I will continue to pay it. Now they've got passive income from something grandma did or mom did. That's the power of seller financing. And it's what's amazing is in when you're able to hand that down to your family, then you get a whole extra layer of protection from the federal government in the tax code. So this is a great strategy. It's a great way for you to break into real estate investing, seller financing, finding properties from tired landlords. We've got other videos here on the channel that teach you how to do this, how to find off-market and cheaper properties. It's a great strategy. Today's episode is brought to you by HelloFresh. Do you know that HelloFresh offers 23 plus recipes each week, featuring a range of flavors, cuisines, and ingredients, all that you'll never get bored of? That's why they keep it exciting. You can get low-cal, you can get carb-smart, you can get vegetarian, pescatarian options every week. You can mix it up if you want. You want to eat like less meat overall? Great, you can do that. No matter what you choose, every single recipe is packed with fresh produce sourced directly from farmers. But I have to say, one of my favorite features about HelloFresh is the money that you'll save. Save up to 40% instead of shopping at your local store. So HelloFresh delivers pre-portioned ingredients so you're not overbuying, which is a burden on the planet, of course. So you're not wasting all of that additional food and you're saving 40% over what you would spend at the grocery store. And in a pandemic, who wants to go to the grocery store? You have to deal with all that craziness right now? Get HelloFresh delivered right to your door. And why don't you get 10 free meals? Yeah, you're going to get 10 free meals just by going to HelloFresh.com/investing10. You have to go to that URL specifically. HelloFresh.com/investing10 and use that code investing10 for 10 free meals, including free shipping. You know, we love cooking with the kids, and I said, you know, I got to tell you, like the recipe cards are really easy to understand, and you can make a fresh, delicious meal in under 30 minutes. So we love HelloFresh and our family. Again, go to HelloFresh.com/investing10 and get 10 free meals, including free shipping, just for checking them out. Thanks, HelloFresh.
All right. The third thing on my list is running the numbers. You have to know your numbers, okay, when you're buying a house hack. Remember, the profit in real estate is made when you buy the property, always. Now, yes, the property can appreciate over time, which is always great, but I never buy for appreciation. I buy where I can get equity and also cash flow. I am a cash flow investor. That is way more important to me than the little appreciation that you get on a rental property. So it's very important that when you're sitting down and you're looking at this property, I'm going to buy it for $200,000. I'm going to put $50,000 down. It's going to cash flow that unit over here. The tenant will pay me, you know, $1,700 a month. My mortgage will be $1,000 a month. If I factor in 40% for vacancy and repairs, then I come out with, I don't have to, you know, I'm walking out of here clean. I don't have to worry about it. Tenant's paying my mortgage. I'm paying zero because he's paying for it. And I'm able to set some money aside for repairs in a savings account. Powerful. But you've got to know those numbers. You've got to make sure that it makes sense. And you've also got to make sure that you can add value to that property so that you can maybe refinance it later, pull some money out and go and buy your second property. Very, very important. You need to look at rental income when you're running your numbers. You need to look at property taxes. How much will you be paying for insurance? You need to look at maintenance and repairs. Is it an older building? Is there split utilities that you're going to end up having to pay? Can maybe you get separate meters on there so you're not having to pay for your tenant's electricity? There's a couple of things you want to factor in with that. The other thing is utilities. You know, how sewer, water, who's paying for all of that? How much does that cost in that neighborhood? Operating expenses on the property and your vacancy reserves. You're going to have vacancies. You want to make sure you have money set aside so that you can pay that mortgage if the tenant next door has to move out. And then you need a month to get a new tenant in that property. Here are some mistakes in house hacking that I want you to avoid. Now, this is very, very important. I want you to make sure you're picking a property in a desirable neighborhood. People get allured all the time by cheap properties in bad neighborhoods. Don't do it. I've certainly made those mistakes in my past. Make sure you're buying in neighborhoods that are really B-class property areas, a place that you would want to live, because after all, you are. You're going to live in the property, okay? So you want to make sure it's a neighborhood that's safe, that there are good jobs, you know, good schools, not, you know, A-class schools, but maybe B-class, C-class schools. You want to make sure that there's a diversity of shopping, public transportation. Can people get on and off buses? Is there an infrastructure? You do not want to buy in a one-horse town where there's one job, one Walmart, and that's it. If that Walmart leaves, everyone loses their job. So you want to make sure that you're in an area that has low crime, higher jobs, appreciating market, and good cash flow. Very, very important. And now, because we've had to deal with, you know, the pandemic that we all saw, you want to make sure you're protected against that as well. What do I mean? I mean, don't be buying in highly tourist areas. We saw what happened in Las Vegas. The entire city was shut down. Entire areas that rely solely on tourism can be a bad play if you're looking at doing a house hack. Orlando, all of those people at Disney that were furloughed, you know, tourist spots. Be very careful, because if all of those people suddenly in an industry lose their job, your tenant is going to stop paying rent. So we have to think about that extra layer of protection. That's why I like to invest and live in kind of boring areas, you know, where we build our houses, like West Texas, you know, Lubbock, Texas, great area, great jobs, low crime, not flashy like Las Vegas, but it's always going to be consistently rented for me. So try to match those things up when you're looking for the house to hack. The other thing I want you to avoid is ignoring local ordinances. Make sure you know your local laws. If you go in and buy a property, but you find out later that you're not allowed to rent it out, that's trouble. So if you bought a one bedroom, if you bought a single family house and you were hoping to rent out some of the rooms in the house, and you find out that, you know, Airbnb or rental property in this particular neighborhood is not allowed, you're in trouble, right? So make sure you pay attention to local ordinances and be aware of that, because it can come back to bite you in the butt. Also, really try to avoid homeowners associations, HOAs. Why? Because very often they don't like renters, or a very few percentage of renters in any one subdivision. So HOAs not only cost you money, $500-$700 a month, so what, they can mow your grass? I'm not a fan of HOAs. But also, they can change those rules and bylaws at any time. And what was once a neighborhood that allowed Airbnbs suddenly is not. The board votes, and you're done with Airbnbs. So be very careful about buying in homeowners association neighborhoods as well. Another thing I want you to avoid is forgetting to budget for repairs. You must be setting aside money for that furnace that's going to need fixing or replacing. The roof that you didn't bother doing when you bought it because it had 10 years left on it, you better have some money set aside for 8-9 years from now when you know you need to replace it. So put money aside. Always factor this into your numbers that we mentioned earlier in this episode. Then I want you to also not, you know, make the mistake of not taking landlord duty seriously. Now, I'm a big fan of making sure that my properties have a property management company that's managing them. Okay, very important. However, if you're just starting out and you're doing a house hack, it's very alluring, again, to just try to landlord it yourself. I caution you against this, though. Wouldn't it be great if you could live next door to someone that you're just friendly with, but you don't ever even let them know that you own the building? And you have a property management company that handles it. So you can play good cop, bad cop. You know, it's up to you. But, you know, you might not want to have that personal relationship with a tenant where they can call you at all hours of the night and complain about something. I want to have that separation. My personal space is very important to me. But if you are going to manage the property yourself, make sure you do proper background checks, screening of your tenants, and set those boundaries. Set those tenant boundaries to make sure, you know, you cannot call me between these hours. If you have a problem, please do this. Your rent is due on this particular day. I had a friend who's a real estate investor. He's got many, many properties now. But when he was first starting, young, he told me this story. And he said, I made the mistake when I first started. He owned a fourplex, I think, and he rented one half of it, or maybe it was a duplex. He rented one half of it to a beautiful girl that applied. So him being the dumb guy, you know, he rented it and she got behind on the rent regularly and could just kind of sweet talk him and he would let it go. So he didn't set tenant boundaries and she took advantage of him and she knew what she was doing. So she missed months of rent and he just would let it go. So he said, never again. So you need to be able to set those tenant boundaries when you start. So those are very important. So to sum it all up, house hacking is very important. It's a powerful way to get started with real estate investing, a way to ease into it by finding a great property that you can add value to or one that's already completed and done, that you can move in, turnkey, and live there and rent out the other side to a cash flowing tenant. You get all the tax benefits of this wonderful way of investing. You're able to depreciate this asset. You can open a business. Now that this property is owned in your LLC, you can become a real estate professional working 750 hours a year in the real estate world, identifying other properties, meeting with realtors, meeting with investors, and you start that process of becoming, you change your entire life, you change your entire tax bracket once you become a real estate professional. So house hacking is such a powerful way to get started in real estate investing. I would love to hear your thoughts on house hacking. Leave me a comment below. I respond to every one of them. And if you're new here, please subscribe to the channel. Really, we could really use the support. This is a channel devoted to real estate investing and learning how to do it. And if you're ready to take the plunge and you would like to buy a fully done rental property, come on over to our website. Just go to morrisinvest.com. You can book a call with our team today. We'll jump on the phone with you for 30 minutes and find out what you want to do in the world of real estate investing. And we'll talk to you about financing available on our rental properties. And so you can take action and get a fully done cash flowing rental property today. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.